Welcome back. This is an advanced workflow lesson on folder hygiene for samples. Specifically, if you're chasing that 90s rave and jungle DNA inside modern drum and bass production. And I'm going to frame this the way pros actually use samples. Like orchestration. Not just I found a cool break, more like, I can reliably find the right break, the right stab, the right siren in 10 seconds, at the right tempo, with the right grime, and I know exactly where it came from and what I did to it. Because the fastest way to kill momentum in a session is the classic, wait, which MN is this? Or, where did that snare come from? Or worst of all, you open an old project and none of the samples mean anything anymore. Today we're building a system, raw to process to exports, with naming that survives huge libraries, with a resampling pipeline so your best finds become your personal canon. And we'll do it with stock Ableton tools, so it's portable and repeatable. Alright, let's build the ecosystem. First concept, you need a single source of truth folder, one master root on a fast drive, SSD'd if possible, and you decide that this folder is law, not Ableton, not random downloads, not I'll just grab it from this old project, one place, call it something like audio library, then inside that, DDNB 90s rave, inside, you're going to separate three worlds. World 1 is inbox, this is where everything new lands. Downloads, renders, phone recordings, sample trades, whatever. If it's new, it goes there. And here's the discipline. Nothing gets used in a real project until it's sorted. This single rule prevents the slow decay into chaos. World 2 is RAW. This is sacred. RAW stays intact forever. You do not overwrite RAW. You do not fix it quick. You do not normalize and replace it. Think of RAW like source code. Immutable. If RAW changes, all your old projects become archaeology. World 3 is processed. This is your sound. This is where you're resampled, conditioned, edited, tempo-ready assets live. Then a fourth category that people forget. Exports from projects. These are bounces that are project-specific. Sometimes they're gold, but they're not automatically library assets. You can promote them later. So in practice, you'll have folders like raw full breaks, raw break hits, tops loops, one-shots by type, rave stabs, hoovers, fox, sirens, impacts, atmos. Then in processed you'll have things like chopped breaks at 170, resampled distorted breaks, resampled stabs, processed fox, processed drum hits. And I want you to add a docs folder, not optional. Put a simple text file in there describing your rules, your naming tokens, your pack codes, your loudness target. Because Ableton's browser database is amazing until you move drives or rebuild your system. That doc is your human readable map. Now do the Ableton step. Add this root folder to places in the browser. That way you're not hunting through the OS. This becomes a first-class instrument. Next, naming. This is where advanced people either become unstoppable or they quietly suffer. Your file names should answer four questions immediately. What is it? Where is it from? What's the tempo or feel? And what processing is baked in? Use a consistent format, type, then source or pack code, then a descriptor, then BPM or key if relevant, then process token, then version number. So for example, break MN full 165 raw V01, or break think chop a 170 HP resamp V03, or stab rave keys minor 9 FM tape crush V01, or VOX 1234 get on it 170 bandpass dub V04. And here's an advanced micro rule that makes this system actually trustworthy. If you can't explain the change in 3 to 10 characters, it's not a stable library asset yet. Tokens like HP180, BP1K, clip, tape, mono sub, short, searchable, consistent. Also, bake improvements without clutter. Use pack codes. For example, RDAT for unknown source, vinyl for a vinyl session rip, CDRJ for an old CD comp, Rise for your own resample chain. That way you can remember where something came from without a paragraph in the file name. Now let's talk about inbox discipline. Because this is where people pretend they'll be organized later, and later never comes. Set a timer once a week. 15 minutes. Open inbox. Delete obvious junk. Move the rest into RAW categories. Rename as you go. That's it. Small and consistent beats, big and rare. And here's the mindset shift. Inbox is a gate. It's not storage. It's not a second library, it's a conveyor belt. Next, Ableton browser workflow. The goal is auditioning speed, because 90s rave flavor isn't one perfect sample. It's selection, layering, and vibe continuity. In Live, rely on prefixes in the search bar. If you name things break underscore, stab underscore, veto x underscore, fx underscore, then searching is instant. You're basically creating your own tagging system that works across any computer. Turn on auto preview in the browser and set the preview volume. This matters more than people think. If preview loudness lies to you, you pick the wrong sounds. Loud always sounds better in a quick audition. So calibrate it once and stop thinking about it. Teacher tip. Aim for consistency in your processed prints. Break loops can peak around -3 to -1 dBFS, roughly comparable short-term loudness across your personal library. One-shots can be slightly lower if you're layering. You're not mastering here. You're making browsing honest. Now for break digging specifically. Create a dedicated audio track called Audition Breaks. Drag candidate breaks in there. Warp them. And then commit the best ones into processed. This prevents your arrangement from becoming the audition zone. Warping defaults for full breaks. Start with beats mode. Preserve transients and envelope somewhere around 20 to 40 as a starting point. For tonal material like stabs and hoovers, Complex Pro can work, but don't leave it there forever. Get what you need. Then resample to audio so you're not paying CPU tax across the whole project. Now we build the sound identity, the 90s rave conditioner rack. This is where folder hygiene stops being admin work and starts being an artistic pipeline. You're creating a consistent treatment that makes random sources feel like they live in the same universe. Make an audio effect rack and build a chain like this. Start with EQ8. High pass around 25 to 35 Hz to clean sub rumble. And if something's harsh, consider a small dip in that 3 to 6K range, but don't do it automatically. Listen, old rave stabs can be ice picks, but sometimes that's the point. Then saturator, analog clip mode, 2 to 6 dB of drive, soft clip on. This is the glue and density stage. Then drum bus, especially for breaks. Drive and crunch are your friends for jungle grit. Boom is powerful, but it can get you into trouble fast by inventing low end that fights your actual sub. If you do use boom, tune it deliberately. Then redux for that era hint. Subtle downsample, maybe 2 to 6. Bit reduction around 10 to 14 bits territory. Again, subtle. You're trying to imply hardware limitations, not destroy the signal unless you want a ruined version. Then auto filter in bandpass mode. This is your rave radio and club PJ toggle. It's also a performance tool if you resample moves. Then utility at the end. This is the unsung hero. Mono below about 120 Hz if needed, and gain trim to standardize loudness for browsing. Save this rack to your user library with a clear name and a version number. Rack Rave Conditioner V01, because you will change it later, and you'll want to know which sounds were printed through which rack. Now, resampling pipeline. This is the moment where a cool sound becomes a reusable asset. Create an audio track called Resample Print. Set its input to resampling. Now you can record the output of your processing in real time, or you can freeze and flatten for speed and consistency. Use resampling record when you're performing. Filter sweeps, delay throws, manual moves. Use freeze and flatten when you want clean, repeatable prints. And when you print, you categorize immediately, not later. Later doesn't exist. Print. Name. Place it in the correct processed folder. Done. The whole point is to build trust. Now break specific hygiene. Because this is where jungle libraries get messy. One break can exist as a full loop, a one bar, a set of chops, and a bunch of one-shots. If those live together, you'll constantly grab the wrong thing. So keep three tiers. Full, chops, hits. Workflow. Warp the full break properly first. Then slice to a new MIDI track. Use transients or 16ths depending on the break. You'll get a simpler kit. Replace the default processing with your rave conditioner or a slightly lighter version. Then resample your chops into processed. And I want you to consider a tempo-native split, especially if you're deep in jungle DNA. Breaks that like 160 behave differently than breaks that like 175. So inside your break folders you can split into ranges like 160 to 165, 166 to 172, 173 to 180. It sounds nerdy, but it saves warp time and preserves transients. Next. Collections in Ableton. These are your favorites tags, but use them strategically. Create a red collection for guaranteed inset. Your best breaks, your best stabs, your most reliable tools. Blue could be dark rollers, moodier percussion and techie tops. Green could be classic rave, pianos, hoovers, diva vox, sirens. This is how you avoid endless browsing when you should be arranging. Now I want to add an arrangement-minded layer to your folders. Because folders can literally make you write faster. have folders that map to roles, tops loops that roll for 8 or 16 bars, effects transitions like risers and downlifters, intro Atmos beds like vinyl air and distant sirens, and staves designed for call and response. The goal is, when you open a new project, you can fill the roles, one or two breaks, one top loop, a couple staves, a couple vox bits, a few transition effects, without leaving your curated library. That's how you keep momentum and consistency. Advanced Coaching Add-on, QC Lanes. This is huge. Inside Processed, create two folders, Candidates and Approved. Candidates are fresh prints. They might be good, but they're not trusted yet. Approved is only sounds that have survived at least one actual tune. They worked at tempo, loudness is consistent, no clicks or DC offset. File name has enough context, and you'd happily use it again. This stops you from auditioning almost good sounds forever. Now a couple sound design extras that really fit the 90s ethos. Print multi-intensity versions. For a strong break or stab, make three. Light, core, ruin. Light is gentle saturation, minimal crunch. Core is your standard conditioner. Ruin is aggressive clip and redux for fills and turnarounds. This recreates that 90s performance feel where the same motif evolves across sections without changing the identity. For vox, print pirate radio style versions. Band pass filter, saturator soft clip, a touch of erosion noise for grit, short bright reverb, maybe a short slap delay. Then resample, name it like Vito X something pirate BP. You will reach for these constantly. For hoovers, print wide and mono safe versions. Check mono with utility. If it disappears, tame side harshness with EQ8 in mid-side mode, or reduce stereo width before printing. Then you've got arrangement options instantly. All right, now your practice exercise. 20 minutes. This is how you make the system reel. Pick one classic break from raw full breaks. Warp it cleanly at 170. Slice to MIDI. Then print two things. An 8-bar resampled chops loop, and a pack of 10 to 20 key hits as one-shots. Then grab two stabs and one vox from RAW. Run them through the Rave conditioner. Print them. Name them properly on export. Put them into the right processed folders immediately. And color tag your best ones in collections. This audio version is shortened for playback.